All right, let's get it started, Dan. It is week 11. This is the Take the Points podcast, and we are well into the season. I'm Tom Zalesnok, live from Hartford, Connecticut, and Dan Partridge is here via Skype from Phoenix, Arizona. Dan, hello.
Hello, Z. How are we doing?
We're doing well. We've been having a very interesting conversation that I want to get right into, Dan. It's the MVC Award, Most Valuable Coach. And I know a lot of people think, well, Nick Saban's the best coach in college football, or, you know, plenty of other guys, Jimbo Fisher. But what we're talking about is the most valuable coach, the coach where if they left their franchise, their college, they would just be crushed. The fans would be devastated. So, Dan, do you want to go down the list?
Yeah, it's a really interesting way to look at who is like the most popular coach amongst fan bases. Who would be most upset if that coach left? It's not Nick Saban, as crazy as it sounds, after winning three titles. There's still some idiots who hate him for no reason. He hasn't won in 2 years, so people will be like, oh man, it's all downhill. Keep in mind, you know, Auburn's former coach, Gene Chiggins, had two losing seasons after winning a title, and he was gone. But okay, the answer to this is, well, I already kind of mentioned when Auburn won with Malzahn, they would be irate to lose him, seeing that they're equal with Alabama these days. And the second one would be my man Art Briles over at Baylor. I mean, they almost had no football team when, you know, like almost recently. They had murders and all that. We've talked about it at length. So for them to even have a football team, and then to like beat teams like Texas and Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, be ranked in the top 10 and have Heisman Trophy winners. And it's just an amazing story. And they would probably be number two. So I'm going to go Art Briles and Gus Malzahn probably.
I agree. Just for people who are a little confused, the reason it's not Saban is because Alabama's going to be fine, whoever they get. Now, they did have some down years in the 2000s, but they will get another quality coach. Whereas Baylor, if Art Briles leaves, there's the possibility they'll never be good again. The distinct possibility.
Yep.
Which is why Chris Peterson of Boise would have been on this list last year. Now we see what's happened with Boise. They're a mediocre Mountain West team. And he hasn't really done his job at Washington yet, but we'll give him time. He's valuable. That's sort of what it would be like with Art Briles if he were to leave. I also think Bill Snyder at Kansas State, Patterson at TCU, those are teams that could fall back to mediocrity or even worse, be totally irrelevant if those coaches left.
Yeah, I completely agree. Those are the other, you know, handful of coaches.
Dan Mullen, I think, is up there on that list as well.
Of course, people would be upset after this year. But if you ask the same people what they thought of Mullen last year, they'd say, get him the hell out of here. You know, we live in Mississippi and we look over the border at Auburn and Alabama winning all the titles. So it's a very, you know, interesting way to look at it. That's just, you know, it's just a cool argument. And it's a way, once again, for me to prove how much I love Auburn and Baylor.
Well, thank you for making an easy segue into our recap of Week 10, the best game of the season so far, in my opinion. Possibly Dan's opinion. Yes, definitely Dan's opinion.
Of course.
He's shaking his head yes. The game was amazing. It was a horrible, horrible way for it to end, but that's just the breaks when you play college football. I feel really bad for Treadwell. He's a great receiver. I think Ole Miss would have been probably a New Year's Six team. I didn't think they were quite out of the playoff. The way they lost it, if Treadwell was still healthy, I thought there was a chance they could finagle their way back into it. Without him, I am a little bit skeptical.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really hard for Ole Miss to get back in with two losses, even though they came out with the, you know, whatever new rankings say, and they were ranked ahead of a couple one-loss teams that are very good. But anyway, crazy game. Just these teams are so good. We've talked about it all year, and I liked Auburn. I'm not saying that I was like, oh, yeah, ha, 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 I told you so. But Auburn just has a way of winning close games like that. Mississippi State, you can tell, or sorry, Ole Miss, as you can tell, isn't quite ready. Like, they were able to beat Alabama. They couldn't hold off LSU. Yeah, they couldn't hold off Auburn, even though they, you know, should have won that game. It's just a tough situation. But congrats to Auburn, another ridiculous win on the road, top five team. They're just an absolute machine. And, yeah, good for them. Ole Miss is still really, really good. Just injuries are now piling up on offense and defense. And it's a shame, but Auburn rolls on and Ole Miss is kind of, you know, injured and fading away, unfortunately.
It's too bad because both you and I agreed that those were the two best one-loss teams going into last week.
They were.
Ole Miss now with the injuries, I don't think I can put them in the top five even.
No.
They're ranked 11th. They might be a little bit better than that, but unfortunately, I think they're done. I think they're going to have to really fight and claw even to get a shot at the New Year's Six now. And it's really too bad because they had what should have been a magical season and just an unfortunate way to end. Losing Treadwell is much more important than losing that game to me.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a complete stud. But keep in mind, I believe if you go back and listen to the week one podcast, we talked about Ole Miss and if they play against a team who is kind of like average or mediocre in like late December, early January, they're going to murder them. So I'm, you know, like at this point, I'm hoping Ole Miss matches up with someone like, I don't know, someone from the ACC or whatever. And they
Clemson?
Oh my God. They would destroy them by like 35 points. It'd be so easy. So something like that I'm looking forward to.
We'll get into this later or maybe save it for one of the next couple weeks, but there are going to be a couple matchups in the New Year's Six possibly or other big bowls that are going to be blowouts. And one is going to be whatever non-Power 5 team makes it in.
Right.
Marshall, Colorado State. We're going to get to both of those teams later, so we'll save it for then. Would you like to review any other games, Dan? We've got Florida, Louisville, Florida State, Louisville. I can't speak tonight.
Yeah, real quick, Florida State, Louisville. That was a weird game. I read something that in Las Vegas, there's one of the major sports books that operates at a couple of the casinos, Cantor Gaming. They took on this Florida State game, there were four bets. There were all max bets, all in Louisville. Which is interesting. So that is why that spread moved down more than I think it should have. I thought that was interesting, and I really like Florida State going up to kickoff. Moral of the story, Florida State mailed in the first half like they always do. They outscore their opponents 35-10 and dominate in the second half. Florida State can turn it on. They have so much experience and swagger, and that team is just really special. And people think, oh, you know, they're not as good as last year. Well, yeah, they're not, but that doesn't mean they're going to win at all. We've seen in college sports before where a team has, had a bunch of players leave and they've been improved, you know. So hats off to Florida State. They keep getting the job done and they're going to run the table. And Florida, I don't care about that win over Georgia. Both coaches are idiots. It's bound to happen. Florida State will smash them at the end of the year. But watch out for Miami because they're playing great.
How about the big showdown, TCU and West Virginia? My opinion, TCU escaped with a win, but West Virginia is one of the toughest places in the country to play, and absolutely, to even come out of that game, even though they struggled, is a huge victory for them.
Absolutely. Thumbs up. It was exactly like when earlier in the year when Auburn went to Kansas State and won. It was just like, a win's good, move on. And, West Virginia is really good. Like, they played Alabama hard week one, and we kind of thought it was a weird, fluky game for Alabama with a new quarterback. No, like, West Virginia is actually pretty good. And Holgorsen is an offensive genius. He's worked with everybody, you know. And they got a decent quarterback. And they transferred in from Oklahoma State. And, that was an interesting game. I loved West Virginia plus the points. I had them plus 18.5 in that teaser, which couldn't have been better the whole time. But what are you going to do?
That was a solid win. I agree with you. Just get the win. Certain games, it doesn't matter what the score is. It doesn't matter about style points. You just need to escape with a win. Auburn fit the bill there. TCU fit the bill.
Right.
Another big game, not big game, but important game to me was the Kansas State win over Oklahoma State. A real quiet but methodical win.
Blowout.
Yeah, they blew them out. because of all the other great games, it didn't get a lot of coverage, but they're a great team, and that is really going to be a monster showdown when they play TCU this weekend.
Yeah, they're a well-coached team, obviously, and they're exceeding expectations, and they're, you know, they played Auburn really well and matched up with them, like, physically on both sides of the ball, which impressed me. And from that point on, you know, if a team matches up with an SEC team, they're going to smack around other teams in their other conferences. So Bill Snyder, old man, he's been doing it ever since we were in high school watching them beat Mr. McNabb in a bowl game.
It's going to be quite an interesting showdown. We'll get to it later. Kansas State, I think, is the best defense probably in the conference. TCU, maybe the best offense up there with Baylor. Interesting.
Yeah, very close.
Right, West Virginia, too. Well, they beat West Virginia, so technically you have to say they have a better offense.
Yeah.
So are you satisfied with the newest rankings that just came out tonight? We're recording this on Tuesday night for anyone listening.
Yes. Yeah, I'm fine with them because all this stuff's really going to play out. Like Arizona State got ranked 9th. Some people are mad about that. Well, if Arizona State beats Notre Dame and they beat Oregon and they beat Arizona, then they should go to the Final Four. And Alabama's not in it. Well, who gives a shit? They're still got to play the Iron Bowl and then SEC title game. So if they win, they're in, you know. So, and Florida State, if they win, they're in. Oregon wins out, they're in. You know, there's a lot of stuff like that. The only thing where it could come down to something weird is if, like, there's a one-loss team from, like, the ACC, like Florida State with one loss. Like, is that more valuable than Oregon? Like, it's hard to say. Oregon lost to Arizona. What if Florida State loses to Miami? Like, Arizona's not good. I don't know. So, but that's hard to say. So right now, I'm fine with it because everything's going to play out in the next month and a half.
Right. And Mississippi State, Auburn, and Alabama all will play. They'll play out. Bama plays both of those teams. Florida State, they've got the easiest schedule by far of all the top 10 teams.
Yep.
But it's still no cakewalk. They will have to show up at least for a half, as we've seen with Louisville and their other games. As long as they play a good half, they're fine.
Yes.
Oregon will have a chance to prove themselves by playing out the rest of the season. TCU versus Kansas State, 6-7 playing this weekend. I think that's going to really boost the winner in the minds of the committee. The one team that could be in trouble is Michigan State and or Ohio State, especially if Ohio State pulls off the upset over Michigan State. They're still going to be sitting in a difficult position, and they're going to need a lot of help. They don't really have a chance with the Big Ten's sort of relatively being down to play themselves up into it.
No, if Ohio State wins out, you can't put them over one loss. Oregon,
anyone,
TCU, even Florida State. If Florida State loses to Miami, you got to put Florida State over Ohio State.
Right. So if you're Ohio State and you win out, I think you need all. I think you need everyone else to have two losses.
Aside
from the top three, obviously,
You can't put them. You can't put them, you know, near Oregon because outside of the common opponent, Michigan State, Oregon's going to beat a slew of top 25 teams and Ohio State's going to play against Iowa. You know, it's a waste of time.
Right. All right, Dan, why don't you give us a quick rundown, a recap of the Pac-12 South, America's craziest conference. You had UCLA beat out Arizona somehow in a game that looked like it was going to be a shootout early on. Then they're just the scoring just stopped.
Very strange game. I don't know what the hell happened there.
And Arizona State in overtime beats Utah.
Of course they did. This is what Arizona State does. They just find a way to win.
So what's your thought going forward?
I have no idea. It's still anyone's game. Like, Arizona State's got to play Notre Dame this week. They still got to play Arizona. They just beat Utah. Taylor Kelly's not 100%, but then they got, like, skill players that are good and a horrible defense, but they're really fast. The whole Pac-12 South is still up for grabs, but you know, we're taping this on what, November 4th or whatever?
Right.
Or 4th, whatever. If Arizona State wins out, they're going to the playoff. Simple as that.
I think you can make a strong case for that for almost any team in the top 10. Win out and you'll probably be in the playoff. This idea that everything's going to stay as is, is just ridiculous. Besides the fact that teams always have to play each other in the top 10, even if they didn't, teams still always lose in November. We deal with the same thing every year in the BCS. Yep. We think we know what's going to happen, and then the top five teams all lose in a span of 2 weeks.
Yep. I mean, you know, there's a lot of football to be played, and we'll see how it plays out.
Right. I gave up the last half of the BCS, the last 8 years or whatever, I gave up on trying to predict what was going to happen in November. It's totally pointless. And with the playoff, I think it's even more so.
Yeah, I agree.
Let them play.
Oh, yeah.
Any thoughts on Oregon-Stanford, or should we just move on to the lines?
Let's move on to the lines. Oregon finally beat Stanford. Stanford's no good. Oregon's, you know, realizing that if they win out, they're going to play for a title or play for the playoff. And that's what Mariota's going to do. So, yeah, pretty standard. Nice win.
All right, let's take a break, and then we will get back into the lines. We're back, everyone. Take the Points podcast. Hey, you can find our website, takethepoints.net. I don't know if you need to go there, because there's nothing there except this podcast you're already listening to. I stopped writing columns and stuff like that. It's too much work.
It's 2014. People are going to listen to this in their car, or they're going to see our webpage, they're going to make comments, and I don't want that. There was one asshole who sent us a tweet that I don't appreciate after we picked Ohio State not to cover. He's like, blowout, kid. I'm like, all right, hold on a second. We were down 8, and there was a phantom offensive pass interference. We're getting 17 here, so let's just slow your roll. But
I'm just happy when people actually tweet at us.
I still encourage people to tweet, but just know that next time I'm not going to be silent.
That's fine. Yeah, I encourage you to tweet.
In fact, I'm going
to
write that guy a tweet tonight and say, I've been stewing about this, and Ohio State sucks, and you're a loser.
That is way, way too late to respond.
Nope, doing it right now. Continue with the podcast.
That's a poor decision. Anyway, we're going to talk about the SEC right now. What we're going to do is save the five big games of the week for the end. So we're going to round up the trash right now.
Yeah, it's my favorite time.
Georgia at Kentucky. Kentucky 10-point dog. Now, Dan, this is a tough one because it's a bounce-back game for Georgia, but it's also a look-ahead game for Georgia. They have Auburn next week, and of course they're coming off the brutal loss to Florida. So what do we think?
No clue, because you got Mark Richt, and he just, you know, decides whether he wants to win or lose, I think. So I don't know. I don't think I can take Kentucky in this spot, even though they're probably the right side. It's a stay away for me.
I watched the Georgia-Florida game with my friend Carl, who is a giant Georgia fan, and he hates Mark Richt, of course, because he's not a good coach. But yes, also because Georgia was not getting killed early on. Florida had the, you know, the fake field goal. They ran it in. They had a couple other big plays. But Georgia went away from the run way too fast. They have Nick Chubb. They have a great offensive line. They could pound the ball and just get back in the game slowly and methodically. Instead, they put the ball in the hands of Hudson Mason, who is not very good.
No.
It's just really bad coaching. And although they got blown out, and it seems like more than just coaching, I put this one right on Mark Richt's shoulders.
I agree.
And that's why you're losers, Georgia.
Standard issue, Richt, blown games you shouldn't against a team that sucks. End of story.
You know what sucks is that Mark Richt is, by all accounts, the nicest guy of all the coaches in the SEC and one of the nicest guys in football. He runs his program the right way. I mean, don't get me wrong, Georgia has a lot of thugs, but he kicks them off and has swift action. I don't know. He makes players go to class, from what I've heard, compared to other schools. So
apparently
it's too bad. It's after the Penn State thing and now this, it seems that the coaches who try to do the success with honor thing, it just doesn't work.
No. Look, he's there to win titles, not to make sure these kids go to class. It's just the way college sports work. You know, there's a lot of money involved. But moral of the story is he's just not a great head football coach, and he's not good enough to coach the University of Georgia with a great history. And, you know, they're right there with Alabama and everybody in the same conference and the same side. You got to have a powerhouse coach. He's got to go. Until he does, Georgia's going to be, you know, 9-3 and same old shit.
He's the Marty Schottenheimer of college. I've said it many times. He'll get you to the playoffs and lose in the first round.
Could not have said it better, Z.
What level do you think you need to be at where your coach should just focus mainly on football, on victories, and not care about raising good human beings or character or going to class? If this happened at UConn, I think we could all agree that it would be overkill. UConn football players should be going to class and studying.
Of course.
Marshall players should be getting an education.
Yep.
But at Alabama, we all sort of agree that they're just there to play sports. So correct. What school is the cutoff? Like, what is the last school that doesn't have to try in class, and what's the best school that should try in class?
Yeah, and that's a hard one because there's always a couple of colleges that have like half and half that are a good academic school. There's a bunch of like O linemen who go and are smart, but they don't go to the NFL.
Right. Stanford competing with anyone is amazing.
A good example of that would be the University of Virginia, who somehow is never good, but they put a ton of guys in the NFL like every year. Same thing goes with North Carolina. Well, they've had their scandals, and I understand that, but they put a ton of guys in the NFL, and they're never good on the field either. So it doesn't necessarily mean you got to be a powerhouse. It's just, it's kind of who sends guys to the league. Alabama sends all their guys to, you know, the league, so they can do whatever the hell they want. Texas can do whatever they want. You know, USC can do whatever they want. But I think it's those mediocre, it's the middle of the road schools. It's the Iowa, Wisconsin, Virginia, North Carolina, Kentucky-ish type programs.
You think they should send kids to class, or they should just focus more on winning?
Focus more on winning.
Okay, so are we drawing the Mason-Dixon line at the non-Power 5 conferences?
Even inside of the Power 5, like halfway through all the conferences, like the top half.
Okay, so if you play football at Indiana, you better get that degree.
You better start going to school because you're not getting paid.
Okay, but if you go to Florida,
you're getting paid and nothing else matters. Just don't kill anybody.
Okay. I will not be taking Georgia this week.
Never.
Because they're on the road, and I think they're going to be looking ahead to Auburn. I will not be taking Kentucky for obvious reasons. Another game I'll be avoiding is Florida at Vandy. The line is 14.5. This is a big overreaction to Florida's big win. I think if this happened a week ago, the line would be about half.
Yeah, there's also...
Vandy does suck, don't get me wrong, but we don't know that Florida's actually good.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an overreaction. I don't trust Florida ever. This would be standard issue for them to mail this in. So who knows? Or they might blow them out. Like, it's a total stay away, just like the Georgia game. It's the same game. Just stay away.
All right, one more SEC game. That is Texas A&M at Auburn. Dan, your main man from Scottsdale, Kyle Allen, did not play so well against ULM.
Yeah, it's his first start. He'll be fine. Just give him some time.
All right. I mean, Kenny Trill won the Heisman in his first start.
He did, and he's also...
he had to return it later, but he got it for a week.
It was just 1 week against South Carolina's defense. It sucks. So I'm not saying ULM's amazing, but there's a lot of pressure that goes along with the game in November compared to a game in August.
Auburn's got a look-ahead game. They're playing Georgia at Georgia next week, which is a big one. Texas A&M is a big name opponent, but I don't think they require Auburn's best effort.
No, they're going to smoke A&M. A&M has no defense. Auburn's offensive line is going to smash them. This is going to be a big-time blowout.
21.5?
Yeah, lay it.
Okay. That's the end of Auburn, unless you have more to say about your man Malzahn or Nick Marshall.
Yeah, one other point. Well, first of all, I love them to cover that because Alabama beat A&M, 58-0 or something? So
yeah, but they were very angry that week.
Yeah, but everyone on Auburn knows how many points Alabama beat them by. And they're going to know that they got to put the whipping on them, or else people are going to be like, oh, you're not as good. Here is an impressive thing I'd like to say about my man, Gus Malzahn. Since he's taken over as Auburn's head coach, the fewest amount of points they scored in any game is 21 points. On the other side, Gene Chiggins failed to score 21 in his final 9 games as head coach.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. He's a genius.
Same player. Went, what, 3-9 in his final year and didn't have a win over a Power 5 conference, I think?
Correct. Auburn went to the national title game.
Right. And then he took them. Then Malzahn in year one takes them to the title game.
Yep.
He's good.
So good.
We say it every week, Dan, but let's reiterate to everyone listening how good their receivers are. Sammy Coates is a beast. Duke Williams is awesome. And even, what's his name? Lewis.
Yeah, he's really good too. Dude, they're freaks. They are NFL wideouts. They just look like they're in the NFL already. Like, they got, like, the visor and the sleeve and the big gloves. Like, it's so funny watching these guys play against guys who are, like, college and not NFL bound. They just are so big and fast. Oh, God. Beasts.
It looks like a high schooler playing against his little brother in middle school.
It does. They are freaks. Those wide receivers in Auburn are large, large men.
And Sammy Coates made a huge catch, and I was watching with some friends, and I told them that they were watching the next Calvin Johnson. They all laughed at me.
No, well, yeah.
That might be a little overkill, but maybe yeah. The next Andre Johnson.
Yeah, like those guys are going to be around forever. I'm telling you. I know football. They are locks to be NFL wideouts.
Right. Ready to move from the best conference to the second worst conference?
As always.
The Big Ten.
Mm.
We got 3 Doris Burkey games.
Oh, we always do.
We got what I am declaring the Doris Burke game of the week, but maybe you can correct me if you think I'm wrong. I think Michigan at Northwestern takes the cake.
That's horrible. It's perfect.
We've also got Wisconsin at Purdue and Penn State at Indiana.
Oh, yeah. We're going to definitely go with that Michigan-Notre Dame or Michigan-Northwestern piece of shit. Michigan -1 at 4-5 at the 3-5, which seems like they're always 3-5, Northwestern Wildcats.
Right. So early money has been going towards Michigan, I read. Michigan on their 2-game hot winning streak against Penn State and Indiana.
Big.
Northwestern, meanwhile, has lost 3 in a row. People think Michigan's going to win this, Dan.
I'll go with Michigan. Why not? Just because my sister went there, that's the only reason why. That's all I got. There's no way to know. Like, this Michigan team could lose 35-0, or they might just be like, oh, well, you know, hoax our guy. We might try to win one 20-19. Who knows? It's a mess.
In 3 decades of watching the Big Ten and many other mediocre football teams, Syracuse, UConn, etc., one thing I've realized is to bet with the streaks. So Northwestern on a losing skid, Michigan going up, even though Michigan's overall record is terrible, the fact that they've won 2 games in a row means that you should bet on them and bet against Northwestern, who's lost 3 in a row. It's not always the case, but it's a better strategy than just trying to guess randomly.
That's fair.
We'll call this the UConn strategy, which we'll get to later.
Ah.
Penn State at Indiana, you're going to want to avoid that game.
Yeah.
And give me your thoughts on Wisconsin. They're a 17-point favorite at Purdue. They've been playing pretty well the last couple weeks. I'm going to look up the Penn State-Indiana over-under because I have a hunch you might want to take the under in that. But you talk about Wisconsin.
You know, Wisconsin, this is, you know, a pretty standard Wisconsin team. You know, they're not flashy, but they're 6-2. They got a great running back. And, you know, this is a kind of game where either they can have an early lead at Purdue and they'll just run it all day and they'll be up 35. Or they could be sloppy and, you know, if Wisconsin's trailing, they have to throw it. Their quarterback's not good. So it's hard, but I still lead Wisconsin a little bit.
If I had to pick, I'd definitely take Wisconsin. Obviously, I'll never take Purdue in anything. I like the way Wisconsin's been playing, and I would lean toward laying the 17 with a confidence level of about 48%.
Okay.
Penn State in Indiana, the over-under is a pathetic 44.
Oh.
So that is a little too low, although I do think they'll still go under, given that Penn State Maryland was 20-19, and Maryland is significantly better than Indiana.
Okay, that's possible. It's just really hard to bet any unders in college football that have a 4 in front of it.
Yeah, but you don't watch the Big Ten as much as I do.
I don't watch any Big Ten.
Yeah, of course. You moved out of the territory, so why would you bother?
I moved out of the territory. It's too early for a time zone for me. No, I'm out.
What is it like on the West Coast in terms of allegiances and people watching? Do people only watch the Pac-12? Do they watch the SEC? They definitely don't watch the Big Ten out there, do they?
Yeah. Actually, yeah, there's a lot of people in Arizona from the Midwest, a lot of Chicago, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Indiana. So there's some, people who are into their college teams. But it's more NFL-based. You see a ton of Packers and Bears stuff. The most popular team out here isn't the Cardinals. It's the Steelers, I think. It's crazy.
Arizona's a popular retirement spot. Is it a big transient spot?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's between 4 and 5 million people in Phoenix, and everyone's from out of state. So that's what makes it really cool living here. But yeah, no. So, I mean, obviously people root for Arizona or Arizona State, but there's a ton of out-of-towners. So, you get your Penn State and your Michigan State fans and stuff like that.
All right, I have two things I want to say about Penn State, and I'll be quick. Number one, I want to congratulate their kicker, Sam Ficken. He started his career, well, it wasn't his first game, but it was the first time anyone really noticed his name, by missing 4 field goals against Virginia. That was the first Bill O'Brien year, and they lost to Virginia, I think, 17-16. This is when Penn State was still Joe Paterno Penn State, and even though they had the sanctions and all that, people were not ready to lose to Virginia.
Yes.
So I think people were a little disturbed by that, but everybody was pretty cool to him, and the fans could have turned on him, and they didn't. And now he's a great kicker, one of the most reliable in Penn State history. He was 4 for 4 against Maryland. He almost single-handedly won that game for Penn State because they didn't have anything else going on.
True.
Even though they lost, and Maryland's got a great kicker too, maybe the best in the country.
Yes.
So even though Penn State lost, I just want to say, who did bad this year? It was Oklahoma's kicker, right? Honeycutt. He missed a couple big kicks in a game. There are other games where freshman kickers will miss a lot of kicks. Just stick with them, because a kicker is a weird position where mental is just as important as physical. And if you get down on your kicker, it's only going to make it worse.
I agree.
These guys wouldn't be on the team if they didn't have the talent. So just, be nice to them.
Fair enough.
And the other thing I want to say is to our old friend Randy Edsall, former UConn coach, who left UConn for the lucrative position of Maryland football.
What an awful job to leave for. He could have held out for Notre Dame if he waited another year.
I don't know what he was doing. I think maybe he had family in that area. What I want to say is Maryland refused to shake hands before the game, and then they interviewed Edsall after the win, and he said something like, we're trying to start a rivalry. Damn right this is a rivalry. Let me tell you, as a Buffalo Bills fan who has lost the Patriots, 24 out of 25 times, you can't just say that something's a rivalry.
Yeah, no.
Penn State is Penn State, 107,000 strong, 100 years of tradition. Maryland is nothing. They have UConn's flunky coach who once went to the Fiesta Bowl and lost by 40.
Flunky.
You are nothing, Maryland. Win that game 10 more times in a row, then you can talk about a rivalry.
Very fair point.
That's it. I didn't want to get this heated about it, Dan, because as I said, I don't even consider them a rival. Penn State, by the way, has 12 scholarship players this year.
Yeah, it's I know. And, in a couple of years, they'll have all their scholarships. Starting next year, but they'll have everyone.
Right, but it takes a couple years to rebound totally.
A couple multiple classes, and Franklin's a good coach, so they'll be good in a couple years.
Yep, and then Maryland will go back to being Maryland.
They're always bad.
All right, one game in the Big 12. West Virginia at Texas. 3.5-point line. West Virginia had a tough loss, and now it's followed by a long trip to Austin. But West Virginia does have a bye next week, so there's no look ahead. They can focus on crushing Texas. I would lay the 3.5.
Me too. Completely agree.
Okay. Anything else to add on your man, Phil Collins / Dana Holgorsen?
He's awesome. His hair is great. His love for Red Bulls are great. He's a cool dude.
All right, moving along. West Coast, Dan. Yes. Into it a little early.
My specialty.
Washington State goes to Oregon State. It's an 8-point line. I would never normally mention this game except that one of my favorite QBs in the league, one of my favorite QBs in the country, Connor Halliday, broke his leg and he is now out for the year / done for life.
He is, unfortunately.
Yeah. He'll be on the Bills at some point, but he will not play in college again.
Probably, yeah.
UCLA at Washington, favored by 4.5. Colorado visits Arizona, 16.5-point line. Any thoughts on any of those?
Arizona's weird. I don't know what to make of them. I don't know how they only scored 7 points last week. That didn't make any sense to me, so I don't know.
Was Rich Rod off interviewing for the Florida job or something like that?
He may have been, because they mailed that shit in all the way. I don't know. So I really can't lay points with them right now. So stay away from Arizona.
Is it possible Colorado's good?
No.
Because not good. Good's the wrong word, but not I took terrible.
Last week. I took them last week and they didn't cover for me. So.
Okay. What do you make of UCLA?
I don't know too. Like they're part of the Pac-12 mess. I mean, UCLA, you know, they've scored 62 points to Arizona, then they score 17 at home to Arizona. Like Arizona gave up like 48 to Cal. You know, it makes no sense. I just think they're a team kind of like Ole Miss, but obviously not in that league. There's just isn't ready yet. Like they have talented players, UCLA, but they just haven't done it before. So they're going to make mistakes, whether it's, you know, offense only scoring 17 or defense giving up 50. You know, they're a team that can be really good one week and really bad the next. So they're really hard to bet with.
All of these schools are known as party schools, beautiful weather. Any chance that affects the players as you get later into the season, later into the semester? If you play for Wisconsin, you're hunkered down right now wearing 7 coats. You're focused on football.
Nah, I don't think it really matters that much. I think if you play big-time college football, I think you'd be fired up anywhere. But I do understand your point. That is pretty funny.
My first point was going to be that they play so late at night, but then I realized that's only late at night for me, not for them. Correct.
No.
And even if they were starting at 10:30 West Coast time, they're still young kids. I forget how old and lame I am now.
You're not that old yet.
No. Dan, would you like to tell us why Arizona is the greatest state in the nation?
Because we do not recognize daylight savings time.
Correct.
Really as simple as that.
So I was curious about this a couple years ago. I hate daylight savings time. Today it started getting dark in Connecticut at 4:20.
Oh my God.
It wasn't pitch black until, you know, 4:45, thankfully. But 4:20 is when I noticed it starting to go down, which is not acceptable. I think it should be, so summer is how it is normally, and then we should go 2 hours the opposite direction for winter.
Ooh, that's interesting.
I want reverse double daylight savings time.
Reverse double daylight savings time. I like it.
Yes. But anyway, I tried to look up why Arizona doesn't do it, because I was a little bit jealous of them. And I figured there would be some sort of reason, you know, some sort of, maybe there were farmers in Arizona, or maybe there was another industry, something that I wasn't considering. Maybe there was
another industry,
some industry that needed more light, maybe some Native American tribe that lived out there. It was against their religion. I don't know. I figured there had to be a reason. Turns out there's not. Every other state did it, and Arizona just said, fuck that shit. We're not doing that. Daylight savings is stupid. No.
It makes no sense to observe it. It's 2014. Come on, people.
There are certain issues that should not be left to states' rights, but there are certain issues that should be decided state by state. Daylight savings is one of them. You should be able to say fuck it if you don't like it.
I think that's fair.
Okay. Oregon, after the big win at Stamford, goes, I think I just said Stamford, like the Connecticut town.
That is not who they played.
They actually play Stamford. It's just 12 financial accountants. Or 11, I guess. They should probably only play 11 guys. Just playing
Stamford showed up.
The town of Stamford tried to beat Oregon. Anyway, they played Stanford, the Cardinal. They had a big win. Now they have another tough game, and I'm hoping that they don't look ahead or they don't have a letdown, because at Utah, as we've mentioned, is a very difficult place to go. Sort of out in the middle of nowhere. It's an 8-point line. Utah's looking for a bounce back after their loss to Arizona State. I'd be a little bit concerned if I were an Oregon fan.
Yeah, me too. This is a good classic letdown spot. But I think the spread's low enough that you still got to bet Oregon on the spot.
Oregon does have a bye next week, so there's no real look ahead. The only look ahead would be if they underestimate the opponent.
Correct.
I can't advise betting Utah in this spot against Oregon, the way they've been playing. They had some injuries on the O-line when they lost to Arizona. Since those have been cleared up, they've been playing great and just destroying people. So I would ride the streak with Oregon until further notice.
I think it's fair.
Okay. The ACC, Dan, undisputably the worst conference in America of the major conferences, of course. Obviously, the AAC is the worst. I don't care what the stats say. I've decided the AAC is worse than the Sun Belt.
They're a total train wreck.
They really are. We'll get to them later. In the ACC, we have a few bad games and one semi-competitive game. We've got football school Duke going to basketball school Syracuse. Duke's a 3-point favorite. Duke's in the top 25, Dan. They could win the Coastal again.
How can you not lay it there with Duke? Whatever. You're on the road, unfamiliar territory, blah, 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 but I'm not taking Syracuse, so whatever.
Syracuse couldn't handle the mighty NC State, so I will not be betting them against Duke.
Strong. Very strong.
Yeah, no more betting on Syracuse people the rest of the year. Take it from two people who grew up there.
Zero.
Basketball has begun. They got a new point guard who's going to take over the legacy from Carter Williams and Ennis. The town has zero interest.
Yeah, they've already all given up, so.
One of these days, we're going to do a live podcast, live streaming from the Dome. It's quiet enough we could actually do the podcast right in there during a game.
We are here mid-second quarter.
Yeah, we should have just said this. Syracuse will be playing on Tuesday night soon anyway against Ball State.
It's just a matter of time, yes.
All right, Georgia Tech, whose sweatshirt I'm rocking for the third straight week.
Congratulations.
They visit the aforementioned NC State. NC State, despite their big win over the Cuse, is not good at all. Georgia Tech's actually pretty decent, even though they're one-dimensional, much in the mold of Nebraska, like we've talked about. They're good at that one dimension.
That's all you need to do. As long as you're good at something, just do it well.
So what you want to do is watch this line and try to get it at 3 instead of 3.5.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's a valid point. I hate 3.5. I never, ever win with 3.5s. They scare the hell out of me.
Yeah, 3.5, 7.5, and then I think 14.5 are the worst lines.
10.5.
That's a bad one. Obviously, anything that's a half point over a score.
Yeah, it's the worst. 21.5 is actually probably the worst, because that implies that you're going to beat out someone pretty bad, and you need that fourth score, and it's such a bitch. Like, I've bet the first half this year on a couple, like, you know, Oregon, Auburn, Baylors, and 21.5, I think I'm 0-4 this year. It's just so hard.
21.5 is asking a lot for one half.
It is. I'm 0-4. It's not good.
All right. We've got Louisville at Boston College. Louisville favored by 3 after their semi-impressive game. I actually thought they played pretty poorly in the second half against Florida State. They played pretty well in the first half. Now, we're not sure if Florida State's down or if they're just not trying at all. Louisville really impressed me, though, in that first half. Their defense looked great. They just sort of fell apart in the second half, and I don't know how much of that is due to Florida State and how much is due to Petrino and their inexperience.
I mean, we talked about this before. That was Louisville's most important game of the year. It was their Super Bowl. It was midweek on national TV. You know, that's a tough spot for Florida State. So they came out fired up and actually probably, you know, the first half is as good as they'll play all year. So you kind of got to look at it like that. Florida State's just really good, and they put them away in the second half. It doesn't have anything to do with coaching or anything. It's just more like just pure emotion and then just the talent of Florida State taking over.
So do we like Louisville to
lose?
Have a letdown game?
Letdown, big time. Huge. Okay.
I'm leaning toward Boston College in the points.
Now, the only reason it wouldn't be a letdown is because it was midweek and they have a little bit longer to prepare. If this was like a home game at night on Saturday and they were playing an afternoon game the following Saturday, then it's a little weird with, like, you know, there's not a lot of practices and walkthroughs. So, but I think they had enough time to kind of shake it off. But there'll still be a little hangover. But Boston College, I fucking hate them. So I can't bet this game.
I love how you make a compelling case for Boston College and then realize that you hate that school. It's too bad. Where are we? Virginia at Florida State. We've talked about both of these teams already. What's the pick? 19.5 is the most recent spread.
It's a little bit higher than I'd like it to be. I think I'm 0-2 betting against Virginia this year. Lost with UCLA and BYU against them. Might as well make it 0-3 because I'm laying the 19.5.
Florida State has nobody tough remaining on the schedule, so there's no look-ahead games to be seen for them.
Yeah.
Their toughest remaining game is Florida, who's had one good game so far this season.
Yeah.
I think it's a matter of motivation. Will Florida State come out strong for two halves? Obviously not. Can they put together one really good half?
Or even like a really good 8 minutes. That's all they really need.
I think at home, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. If this game were in Virginia, I think I would take the points.
Okay. I think that's all right.
I don't like it though. I probably will stay away.
Okay.
But I cannot advise betting on Virginia in football.
No, never.
All right, Dan, we have three other games to get into. Category other, a.k.a. non-Power 5, before the big games of the week. I'm saving UConn till the end, even though I've got them listed first on my sheet here. I want to talk about Marshall. Got Marshall at Southern Miss. Actually, let's talk about these together. We've also got Hawaii at Colorado State. Both games are pick-ems. Colorado State and Marshall seem to be the top two teams as far as a non-Power 5 team making the New Year's Six game.
Yes.
Do you like either of them? Do you have another pick who you think will make it?
No, Marshall's my favorite out of the non-powered conference teams. They scored a ton of points. They had a lot of expectations coming into this year, and they've covered a lot more than not. So, yeah, I'm going to roll with Marshall until further notice.
I think it's very difficult to go undefeated no matter what level of competition you're playing.
Yeah, football for sure.
Marshall at Southern Miss, you've got an away game in November. I think they're a little bit vulnerable. I would take them. I think, like I said, betting streaks, go with the streak. Colorado State, a pick 'em. This game I like a lot because Hawaii is a terrible road trip for Hawaii and for their opponents. When an opponent has to go and play in Hawaii, they're never going to do well. And yeah, Vice versa, when Hawaii players have to leave the island and come all the way to, not just to the continental U.S., but to Colorado State, which is out in the middle of nowhere, that's a tough trip. And so I like Colorado State a lot in that game, especially at a pick.
I agree completely. Everything you said is right on about Colorado State right there.
Okay, so take both of the favorites. Don't expect much from them. And if either of these teams get to a New Year's Six game, be prepared to bet heavily against them. There's no spread. If it is, say, Mississippi State or Alabama.
Auburn.
Against any SEC team.
Auburn.
Against Marshall or Colorado State. They cannot possibly set the line high enough.
No, it'll be because they will just massacre them on the offensive and defensive line.
It's going to be a 33-point line. I'm still going to lay it.
Fuck yeah.
All right, UConn, Dan. Huge win. Huge win. You want to congratulate your team?
I'm so proud of you guys for actually throwing the football and realizing that there's two options to move a football. You could run or pass. It's good to see you opened up two options. Two's better than one. You want $2 instead of $1. You want two candy bars, not one candy bar. Good job, Bob Diaco.
That's it?
That's it.
I think UConn's going to win this game again at Army. 4.5-point line.
Wait, hold on. Lay it? What? Sorry, I don't know who just said that. Do not lay points with UConn under any circumstance. It doesn't matter. Just stay away and hope they win. But you, if UConn wins by three and you don't cover, it's the ultimate kick in the fucking balls. You can't do that.
Dan, they beat the best team in the awful athletic conference by 12 points.
It could be a fluke. There'd be some shady stuff went down with some catering or, I don't know, something. Careful.
I'm not saying I'm going to lay it per se. All that I'm saying is if I had to pick a side in this, it's UConn.
Yeah, oh yeah, me too. But you can't lay points. You can always take points with UConn. You can talk yourself into it. You can never lay them.
You could take UConn on the money line with a, you know, put in $100, try to win 25.
Or even more than that, it's going to be like 60. But I don't know. UConn Huskies, turn over a new leaf, learn how to throw the ball. I'm excited.
That's a UConn education coming to play. Two is better than one.
Econ major. That's what they told me.
Two calzones at DP Dough, better than one?
They are. $5 each. I'll go for one right now.
Two package stores, better than one?
I never understood that term, and I still don't. And I don't think I ever... I never called even a pack... I think I did call it a package store. I'm an asshole. I apologize.
Flipping two cars in the X lot, better than one?
Yes, getting sprayed with two cans of pepper spray, not one, also, that is close.
Seeing two nights of Dave Matthews back-to-back, better than
I
one?
I saw half of one show once, and my girlfriend passed out, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. She's like, oh, I feel sick. I'm like, you need to go to the hospital immediately. Let's get the fuck out of here before I hear some more nonsense. So here's what happened. Quick aside, we were at Dave Matthews in Hartford. She said it was too smoky or some shit. I don't know. I really wasn't paying attention. She kind of passes out. Not really. EMTs take her away. I got to follow her. We go over to the hospital. Nothing's wrong. We go home. Miss the show. Perfect. Oh, by the way, here's part of the reason why she's my ex-girlfriend. That show was right before Christmas. That was my Christmas gift. She bought me a ticket to go with her to go see Dave Matthews.
She bought you tickets to Dave Matthews for Christmas.
Uh-huh. Great gift.
Our listeners may not know this, Dan, but you are not a fan of Mr. Matthews.
No, his music's not good. Yeah. So not only did I have to go to that horse shit, but that was my Christmas gift. I'm like, great. Thanks.
Perfect. Yeah, that's no good. I mean, that's like buying me a ticket to Duke basketball. Or buying you a ticket to, like, I don't know, who's a football team you hate?
NFL New England Patriots.
There you go. Interesting. Well, she's gone now. Good. These things have a way of working themselves out.
Oh, she worked herself out, all right.
Interesting aside, having worked for the local Hartford newspaper, I can tell you they keep stats on who goes to the hospital from concerts at the Meadows or the Comcast, yeah, whatever it's called now. And the average number of people who go to the hospital from drunkenness or disorderly conduct at a concert, it's somewhere in the low teens, maybe 14, 15, 13 right, people per show. If you take out Dave Matthews, it drops to single digits. Dave Matthews sends like 120 people to the hospital, whereas the Warped Tour sends like two.
Yeah, because people who go to the Warped Tour know how to party. They can handle their stuff. The people who go to Dave Matthews are like, oh, I'm going to get there early and get fucked up. Well, yeah, they have too many, like, Coors Lights or, like, shitty margaritas, and they take, like, one hit off of a joint, and then they pass out. So that's what you get from the DMB crowd. They're soft.
Coors Light is generous. I was thinking more like Arbor Mist.
It's just... it was horrible. It was a horrible experience all the way around. Horrible.
All right, well, let's move on to good experiences, which are our games of the week.
Yes.
This is a pretty loaded week, Dan. We've had some really good weeks this season, and this is one of them. Baylor at Oklahoma, your favorite player, your favorite coach, rather, Art Briles. He goes into Oklahoma. He's a 5.5-point underdog, which does not seem right to me. What do we got? We got both teams coming off blowout wins. Both teams lost just a couple weeks ago. Seems like an even matchup to me. What do you think?
The spread saying that it's 5.5 is telling you that these two teams are roughly even on a neutral field, which is probably pretty close. I think the reason why the spread is what it is because Baylor, I don't think, has ever won at Oklahoma ever.
Okay.
Ever. Like, in the history of their football program.
I assumed it was some sort of name recognition betting.
This spread is purely based off history. You know, it's a what's happened in the past type thing. So, that being said, you know, I'm never going to take Oklahoma in this spot. So, I don't care if I lose, but I'm taking Baylor in the 5.5.
What would it take you to bet against Baylor? Not just in this game, but in general.
If they were playing in the national title game against Auburn and the spread was 3.
Okay.
That's really it.
Would you call them your favorite team?
Second.
Auburn number one?
Yeah, this year.
What about Oregon? They used to be number one, right?
They're not the same since Chip Kelly left. And I mean, you know, they're cool, and I'll pull for them against like Florida State or Mississippi State or something like that, but they just aren't going to win the national title. I'm 100% sure of it. Like, if they make the playoffs, they're the easiest team to lose first round. But
right.
And they have the best quarterback in the country. So imagine what they're going to be going forward without the best quarterback. It's going to be 9-2 Oregon. It's going to be frustrating. They're never going to win a title. They're too small.
Next year is going to be a crucial year for Oregon.
Yeah.
They could fall way off. Or they could keep it going, but
it depends.
We'll have to see.
Yeah, it's all about quarterback play next year.
Bet they wish they had that Sanu guy from Arizona right now.
Fuck yeah, that guy's really good. Underrated.
Dan, your Arizona State Sun Devils.
Yes.
They're hosting America's team, Notre Dame. And they are actually the favorite by 2.5.
I know. I'm so proud. I'm just so proud of Arizona football in general. I mean, we got the Arizona Cardinals, the best record in the NFL at 7-1. We got Arizona State, who, if they win all their games, is going to go to the Final Four. And even in high school football, we got really good players who are going all over the country and playing. But
best football state in the country, according to ESPN.
It's way underrated. There's so many good players out here because it's gorgeous all year and they can practice all year. Makes sense. Anyway, this game's really hard. I think Notre Dame is a better team than Arizona State. I don't think they will be fazed by playing outside in this climate and nice weather. They just did that in Florida, playing Florida State.
Notre Dame has a strong following regardless of where they play.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame wins this game, and I hope I'm wrong.
What's the situation at quarterback? Taylor Kelly, Bergavici? Yeah.
No, it's, you know...
I haven't followed Arizona State the last... I haven't been able to watch them the last couple of weeks. Is Kelly back 100% playing fine?
He is back, yeah. You know, he came back off the, you know, foot injury, and then he had a concussion, and he was cleared to play last week. You know, he didn't play his, you know, most amazing game, but they won. So Arizona State's a very strange team this year. So, but they keep winning. But Notre Dame looked really good against Florida State, and that's their only loss. So I'm going to lean Notre Dame slightly, but I really hope I'm wrong. So I'm not going to bet it.
Let's go to Alabama going into Death Valley. Latest line has it at 6.5 points, which is a tricky one. As we said, 7.5 is a difficult one to bet. 6.5 also makes it a little trickier.
Yes.
In terms of if you want to take the underdog, it would be nice to get up to 7 points and then you could take LSU.
They want you to take LSU in the spot. They're afraid it's going to be Mississippi State LSU part two. But LSU, you know, has played really great over the last couple of weeks. You know, people thought they were done because they lost to two of the top five teams in the country or whatever. These two teams know each other so well. I wouldn't be even surprised if LSU finds a way to win, but Alabama's a better team. And I would be inclined to lay the points with them. Alabama.
This game is semi-historic in that Alabama is actually going on the road to play a game.
Yes.
Doesn't happen too often.
No, about twice a year.
Yeah, they lost at Ole Miss. This is their only other real competitive road game today.
It's hilarious. I know.
I don't know. We'll see how they respond. Obviously, Death Valley at night. I believe it's at night.
Yeah, it is. Of course.
Hardest place in America to play. Probably biggest home field advantage of any sport.
Yep.
I don't know what to say. I am leaning LSU in this spot. I would like to get it at 7 because I think there's a very good chance it could end exactly at 7.
It's hard to say.
It's very tough. Alabama has succeeded this season against teams that can't stop the run. For example, Texas A&M. When they've played a team that is tough against the run, for example, Ole Miss, they struggled and they didn't play quite as well. Although they didn't exactly get blown out in that Ole Miss game. They were in it till the end. I think if LSU can get any sort of offense going, they're in a pretty good position in this game to cover, possibly even pull off the upset.
Okay.
I'm looking at a 4-point game.
It is very possible.
Okay. That's all I have. I think Sims is going to struggle compared to how he's played regularly.
It's very possible, because he never plays on the road. But
right. I mean, semi-new starter. This will be the toughest environment he's had to play, even probably tougher than that Ole Miss game. Maybe not, but comparable.
Yeah. Very similar either way.
Okay. Let's move along. This is a really, really big game, and I don't know if America is going to give it the respect it deserves, but Kansas State at TCU, it's your new number 6 versus number 7. Not only is it a top 10 matchup, but the winner is put in a great, great position to win the Big 12 and possibly make the playoff.
Yeah, this is a really crazy game. Who would have thought earlier in the year that this is what would maybe see who makes a playoff. This is kind of an elimination game. I mean, it is.
Ironically, the same week as Oklahoma-Baylor, which we thought was going to be the game in the Big 12.
I know, but of course it wasn't.
Right. Turns out we're always wrong about everything.
Yep, standard. I like TCU in this spot. I think that they can outscore Kansas State, and being at home is a huge factor in all this. And, look out for TCU to score a bunch of points this week. I know Kansas State's a tough team, but I think this is where they're finally going to give up some points early, and TCU's going to run away with it.
Interesting take. I'm very, very torn on this. These are two of my favorite, I would say, underrated teams. It's a little hard to be underrated at number 6 and number 7, but I don't feel like the casual fan really pays attention to either of these teams.
They are.
And that's why I say that. I think most people who only kind of watch college football still would pick Oklahoma over both of these teams.
Yes.
I don't know. I like Kansas State a lot. I like the way they play, their tough style, their ball control, running game. I feel like they match up very well against most Big 12 teams. Because of that, Big 12 teams want to run and gun, and they just don't know what to do when somebody actually hits them and runs the ball right down their throat. That said, TCU is exceptional this year.
They remind
me of Auburn a little bit last year, where they've just come out of nowhere. They had the talent, but maybe not the coaching. And not Patterson, but the offensive coaching. As we said, they got the new old coordinator, and that's made a huge difference. I think it's their year, but I think Kansas State's going to keep this very, very close.
Okay.
I like Kansas State and the points.
Fair enough.
All right.
It's time.
It's time for the game of the week. I think Kansas State TCU is probably bigger than this, but this is the America name recognition game of the week. That is the Michigan State hosting Ohio State.
I think you said that wrong for all the assholes out there, including that asshole on Twitter.
I'm no fan of Ohio State. It's well known. I'm no fan of Michigan State either. However, I do think Michigan State is a legitimately good playoff contender, and I think Ohio State has some serious flaws. Their quarterback struggles when he's pressured. They need a good run game to succeed. I think Michigan State matches up well, and it's a home game. Hopefully, if the Michigan State fans can stay up past 9:30, unlike most games.
Ragging them.
Well, their fan base is lame, but actually the Michigan State fan base is by far the nicest of the Big Ten. When I've gone, you know, I've gone to Penn State games and I've pretty much seen them play every team and met all the fans from the different teams, and hands down the nicest were Michigan State. So if they can turn out and cheer on their team and create a hostile atmosphere, I think Michigan State wins this game. That's my pick straight up. Now, at 3.5 points, I'm a little more hesitant.
Me too. I love Michigan State to win this game, but I still like them laying the 3.5. I think Ohio State is a team who likes to put up 50 points on nobodies, and then they struggle against good teams. Even Penn State on the road, they struggle. They lost at Virginia Tech. Well, this is another road game. It's going to be cold and nasty, and that defense is going to be there, and they got a solid quarterback and a really good head coach. I like Michigan State. I would lay the 3.5.
So the Penn State game is actually a great parallel because Penn State has a very good defense despite their horrific offense. Michigan State has an even better defense than Penn State. I would say probably a couple notches up from Penn State. Penn State's got the great crowd. Hopefully Michigan State can get a great crowd and create that kind of atmosphere. What Michigan State has that Penn State lacks is a great running game. Langford, 5 games in a row, is over 100 yards.
Yeah.
The competition hasn't been quite as good as Ohio State's defense. I mean, Joey Bosa's pretty sick, and the rest of their D-line's good. He might not get 100 yards, but at least he'll have that threat there where Ohio State has to respect them. Against Penn State, they didn't have to respect the run game at all, and Penn State still took them to double overtime. So I like Michigan State. I like them by 3 to 7 points, which means I would probably lay the 3.5. Although I'm not fully – I do think there is a small percentage chance that they can win and not cover.
It's possible, but yeah, by 3. But I still like them to take care of business.
Should Michigan State win, does that win merit them any sort of jump in the polls?
Nothing.
Playoff consideration?
They are not going to a playoff no matter what happens.
You don't think so if they win out and they're one of 4 1-loss teams?
No, they have no argument. They only, like, their number one win would be against Ohio State. That's not going to cut it.
All right, Dan, explain to the listeners why a 2-loss Alabama or Auburn is a more compelling choice than 1-loss, say, Michigan State, Florida State, Oregon. Yeah.
You have to look at who those teams played and who they have impressive victories against. Like, that tells you more of how a team really is compared to who they actually lost to. Like Auburn, we've talked about all their great wins, so, you know, they're battle-tested. Like, Michigan State with 1 loss is not the same as Auburn with 2 losses. Auburn's going to play 9 highly ranked teams. Michigan State's going to play, you know, 2, 3, you know? I mean, it's all about schedule, and they're just a way better team. And if you just watch those teams play, you'd say, wow, it's obvious. So Michigan State, I'm sorry, they had to win at Oregon, or at least lose very close, and Oregon made them look kind of average at best in the second half. But and since then, they've took care of business against their Eastern Michigans and Purdue's like they always do. So sorry, Michigan State, you are out no matter what.
The thing Big Ten fans, ACC fans, even maybe Big 12 fans need to understand is that the level of competition is so good in the SEC that you're playing a difficult team week after week after week. Even a team like Arkansas presents a challenge and can beat you. And now the Mississippi teams that supposedly were the easy games in past years, now those are some of your most challenging. Even when you play a team like Kentucky, you have to bring the A game, maybe the A-minus game.
Yeah, it's true.
Illinois, Indiana, those are basically bye weeks.
Yeah.
If you play, Florida State's a perfect example. Florida State has maybe four challenging games this year, but they have a month to get ready for each of these games.
Yeah.
Because they're playing Syracuse at home.
Exactly.
Okay. That's about all we can say on the topic. Playing the teams week after week after week, it requires you to be better, more focused, and just be a stronger team, because you're going to have down weeks and you still need to gut it out in those down weeks. You can have a down week against Purdue and it doesn't matter. So you win by 12 instead of by 40.
Right.
Well, Dan, anything else to add?
Time for the four team 13 point tease of the week.
Yes. Dan Partridge, just light your money on fire. Four team tease of the week.
2-2 on the year.
Tough loss, Dan. Florida's big upset of Georgia screwed up your four-team tees.
The other ones were very easy, by the way. Like, they came in by two touchdowns or more. So, unfortunately, Georgia really hosed me. But I'm ready to bounce back this week. So here you go, folks. I'm going to change the line of four games by 13 points, and I'm going to win all four for a single bet. This is a weird one this week. I only have one favorite, and I have three underdogs. So here we go. Pick one. Florida State -6.5 against Virginia. Love that. Okay. Two. The powerhouse football school that is the Duke Blue Devils plus 10 points at Syracuse.
I love that pick.
Thank you. Pick three, the Alabama Crimson Tide +7.5 at LSU. Love the 7.5 hook. If it's a close game, you win. And the last one, I debated. I almost put TCU in there +7, but I crossed them out. And the final pick is going to be Michigan State +9.5 home against Ohio State.
Okay.
So there you go, folks. Florida State, Duke, Alabama, Michigan State. All games that I will wager on normally without the tees. So those will probably be my four picks of the week, and I'll definitely do a four-team 13-point tease.
You're going with some power teams this week. A lot of times you pick some of the not underdogs, but small colleges, minor games. Going all big games this week.
I just think there's value there. I mean, look, you get Michigan State at home over a touchdown. You get Alabama over a touchdown. You get Duke +10 against Syracuse. And then you get Florida State under a touchdown. So that's the way I look at it, is just over a touchdown, under a touchdown. So
Duke +10 is the lock of the century.
Thank you.
Syracuse will not be covering that.
No.
Alabama +7.5 against arch rival LSU.
Coming in.
That's a pretty good bet, Dan.
Yeah.
Michigan State,
yes.
What are they at? +9.5?
Yeah.
I think that sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good to me. I suppose there is a slight chance that Ohio State's newfound offensive prowess is for real.
Yeah, like they could be up 4 and trying to run out the clock and they snap off a 50-yard touchdown run and win by 11. Like, that's possible.
Right. You could have an Ohio State Northwestern situation where the last play of the game is a
worst
backwards fumble in the end zone.
Fucking ridiculous.
I think your best chance to lose is actually a lackluster Florida State performance, taking a 5-6 point win and just barely making you lose.
Yeah, that's kind of why I thought about taking TCU plus a touchdown at home and basically just have them win and I'm good. But
I would avoid that game. That game could go in any direction, I think.
Yeah. But I'm going to stay with Florida State. I feel like since it's under a touchdown, they're going to make sure that they're up over a touchdown late, so they don't have to worry about any nonsense.
Of all the big games, the one with the potential for something crazy to happen, I believe, is that Big 12 game. TCU could destroy Kansas State. Kansas State could destroy TCU. It could be a quadruple overtime game. I'm prepared for anything.
It could be a low-scoring, horrible stinker, too. You know, I don't know.
It's true. I think we all know what we're getting with Alabama-LSU.
Yeah.
I think we sort of know what we're getting with Michigan State-Ohio State, a 27-23 type matchup. And Baylor-Oklahoma will most likely be a shootout. But that other Big 12 game, I think it's a wild card of the weekend.
I almost took Art Briles plus 18.5 at Oklahoma. I was so tempted.
That's possible. Give me a second and let me look up. I think I can find some good bets. You know what's a nice one? Wisconsin minus 4 at Purdue.
I saw that one. Yeah, it's good.
It's looking strong to quite strong.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, Wisconsin blows a game.
Yeah, very possible.
So I don't know. I always like, even though it's Indiana, if you can get anyone plus 20 against Penn State at home.
It's coming in.
That's definitely coming in. But again, you in order for that to happen, you have to bet on Indiana, which is not advised.
Yeah, fair enough.
Duke, Syracuse, as I said, is the lock of the century. I would take Georgia Tech plus 9.5, plus 10 against North Carolina State for sure. I think West Virginia plus 9.5 or 10 at Texas is looking good.
Yep.
I would take either Notre Dame or Arizona State.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking the same thing. Notre Dame plus 15.5, I love. That one's coming in.
You could take them both in the same teaser. And you would win because that game's going to be a four-point game.
Notre Dame plus 15.5, 100%. Arizona State's not going to beat them by like 21.
How many do I have so far? I'm going to go for my 10-team tees.
Yeah, a 10-team 30-point tees. Let's do this.
I think, okay. So do you get that? If it's 10, no. 10 teams, it's still 13 points, right?
No. There's a max of four teams, 13 points. That's as high as it goes.
All right, well, I'm going to do the theoretical 10-team, 13-point tees.
Or Z, if you want to get a little less creative, you do 3-point 10-team tees. Sorry, 3-team 10-point tees.
No, you might as well just go all the way with it.
That's what I'm saying.
I want to know what kind of points I can get for 10 teams.
You have to talk to a non-casino bookie for that one.
Remember in the old days, I'm going to edit out that the name of the person I just said, but remember the old.
No, this podcast exists. There's, and that's a common spelling that could be with a U, with an I.
Do you remember? It wasn't that long ago, Dan. I mean, only 15 years. We had to call this kid's brother and have him put in a bet for us when we wanted to take the Kansas State Purdue over 73.5 in the Holiday Bowl.
Lock up.
We had to call a guy and, you know, put cash down ahead of time.
That was the largest wager we like ever made. Dude, we bet $500 on that game.
We all pooled our money together. It was so difficult to make bets back then. We had to get the group to all decide on one game, and then we all just pooled our money.
All decided that was the game, and I'll put in $100. I don't know how we got $100 back then. That was a lot of money for us.
I think that was Drew Brees, Michael Bishop.
It was. It was $500 that we bet. That was the most money ever.
And it was something like 35 points going into the fourth. I remember we had all given up and turned the game off. I think it was on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. Oh. And then all of a sudden, there was a 40-point fourth quarter. And this was before the days when it was run and gun for every team.
I know. It was wild.
It was quite a memory.
For sure.
I don't remember graduation, Dan, but I remember that.
I don't remember even being there. No clue.
All I remember at graduation is because my last name is Selesnok, and they said, hold your applause till the end. I got a thunderous applause when I walked across the stage.
Yeah, you did.
That's all I remember that. Oh, actually, I do remember another thing from graduation when, I forget who it was, but one of the teachers said, we want everyone to hold their applause and hear all the names because everyone here is important, from Mike Allen all the way to Tom Zilzanik.
Yeah, close enough. They couldn't figure that one out.
It's my one of my favorite quotes ever. Everyone's important here, all the way down Tom and then she just trailed off.
Whatever the hell his name is.
No one's ever gotten it.
That's fine. The only thing I will say about that is I've been inside of that arena four times in my life. High school graduation, Stone Temple Pilots, Harlem Globetrotters, and Fish. 4. That's it. That's pretty impressive.
No sister graduation?
I don't remember it. If I was there, okay, maybe. I'm sure I was there. That's like, you kidding me? That's like 2003. I don't remember those years.
All right, Dan, give us a restaurant etiquette tip to close out.
Ooh, restaurant etiquette tip of the
Our
day.
hottest new feature on Take the Points. Do you want me to ask you a question or do you just want to give a tip?
Wow. Restaurant etiquette. Here's one for you. Here's a tip. If you're in a party, sorry. If you go out to eat and you have a large party and they add on the 18% autocrat, if you want to look like the absolute coolest person in the world, all you got to do is add on the additional 2% on the chip line, and that server will literally have sex with you on the spot. They will be so happy. You will make someone's whole week by just adding a simple 2% onto the bill. Trust me.
I like that one. I
Thank you.
usually try to do that.
It's a classy move.
A large group can be very difficult with the tip when, not everyone's always on board with the tipping.
Yes.
It's important to go out to dinner with people who are on the same page with you as
It's
tipping
rare.
wise.
It's very rare. There's a lot of cheapskates. There's a lot of people who make too much money. And there's people who don't order appetizers. It's very complicated. I don't know what the etiquette is. I just like to try to overpay even if I'm broke, so it's just for peace of mind. It's not to show off. It's not for anything. I just want to go home and not think about whether my friends think I'm a cheapskate. That's all I care about.
I agree with you, especially when you're in a group, you don't want to be the cheap guy.
Now, be the
What I've
first.
also noticed, especially say you're going to a sports bar and you're buying, maybe you get a pizza, some wings, a beer. The difference between a bad tip and a good tip is what, $4?
If that, it's so small.
And you're there for 2, 3 hours. It's not worth it to be cheap.
No, I completely agree. And I could save this for next week, but the basic rule is if you can't afford to leave a proper tip, you shouldn't be going out to eat. It's really as simple as that.
What would you say the average tip your waiters receive is, percentage-wise?
I would say about average. I mean, it's not super high like a private restaurant in a chic part of neighborhood or anything like that. I mean, those servers make 25, 30% because that clientele is there for an experience. They come to where, I work to eat mostly,
All right, let me
but
rephrase the question. What percentage of customers give a really good tip, say over 20%, 25%, and what percentage of customers are really cheap, like 10% or less?
I would say most people fall in the middle, in the 15 to 20% category. You get your occasional, people who want to leave less, who might not be from this country. I mean, that's understandable. I mean, if I lived in England, and no one tips, I mean, I would understand. Or, I mean, there's places where if you actually try to give someone a tip, it's considered an insult. Like that happens in Asia. So, I mean, I don't know. It's complicated. And there's people who got money and go, who gives a shit? And they throw it around. So, when it comes to serving, which is something I did for a long time, you got to take the good and the bad. Everything really averages out to probably a flat, 17% over the long run. Just kind of look at it in sales. So just sell as much as you can and you'll make more money. It's really as simple as that.
You ever see zero tip?
Oh, yeah. It's great. I love that. That's the best, dude.
How frequently does that occur?
Very rare. It happens like once every 6 months or like 3 months, but when it happens, it's actually like the best thing in the world because then because when someone gives you zero and you leave work, you can say whatever you want. Like you can take the gloves off when there's zero. Like there's no holding back. And I mean, I remember those days where I'd go, oh, that person left me zero. They didn't like me so much. And it's this kind of a thing where
When you say the gloves come off, you're talking about bitching to coworkers, right? You don't,
yes.
people don't actually confront the customers.
No, of course not. No. I'm talking about talking to friends and, after work and stuff. But
Okay.
I always kind of enjoyed when someone gave me 0% because they would go home and have to think about what they've done. Because even when they leave zero and they leave, I think about 95% of the time after you leave a 0% tip, you walk out thinking, that was probably the wrong move. So that guy had to think of that the whole night, and I still made maybe what, $300 instead of 320 bucks? Who gives a shit? It's the same thing.
Words of wisdom, Dan. It's good perspective.
I'm a man of that's my number one skill is perspective. I'm gonna put that on my resume. They're gonna be like, what does that mean? I'd be like, everything. all facets of life. I'm good at perspective.
The reason, not that you're in the market for a job right now, as far as I know, but the reason I would hire you in a second is because there are too many people who are emotional, or if they're having a bad day, they bring it into work, and you're the most even-keeled person I think I've ever met. You may just be a psychopath. I'm not sure.
I'm leaning that way. I don't know. Like, I'm only 33. Like, there's a chance I snap at 45. Like, I don't know. I mean, right now I'm happy, but things might go south. It's possible.
All right. Arizona man kills podcast co-host. Goes on 10 state rate.
If some shit goes down and you don't hear from me, you need to get this podcast off of iTunes. That's all I'm saying.
That's fine.
Call up Steve Jobs, or if he's dead, someone else. I don't know how it works.
I don't think Steve Jobs could do it for multiple reasons.
Is he dead? I don't know. I'm
yes,
I'm
not, he's I'm, dead.
I've been listening to a lot of 80s music. I'm out of touch with reality. I don't know. Just a quick aside, and I'll wrap this up.
That's fine. I'm cutting out like 30 minutes of this podcast anyway.
Nope, leave it go. We're going to have the extended, uncut version. So today was voting day.
Yes. Connecticut could have a new governor, for all I know. I've been out of touch for the last hour and a half while we're recording this. Could have the guy who is somewhat conservative and is going to raise taxes, or the guy who's somewhat conservative and is probably going to raise taxes, Dan. It's a real toss-up.
That's the number one reason that no one should vote, right? Just no one should vote. If no one votes, then they're going to be trying to figure out what they should do. But no, like, it was election day today, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I'd like to vote for some people in the, you know, people who think like I do.
Right.
But I don't even know how that works.
Like, you're not registered, Dan.
Is there a piece of paper I got to fill out, or a form? But, I mean, I live in Arizona. I mean, I have a driver's license. Shouldn't I be able to just walk up and go, give me a piece of paper, I'll make a check for all the communists?
So
that was a long joke. You see that long? I started with the people, the party, but I didn't say, and then I saved the socialists till the end, and then that's the punchline. Only hopefully our sophisticated audience picks up on that. That's a long con in the comedy world, as we call it.
Yes, I didn't pick up on it until it was over. Like, so
if you listen to this podcast 12 times, like, you'll be like, there's some hidden gems on there, like that line there at the end.
Since we're about to hit that, we're past the hour 30 mark. I would be surprised if anyone listens to this all the way through one time, let alone 12.
They should. They'd be like, wow, these guys got a 3-hour college football mega breakdown.
I got a big event coming up at work, so I'm busy. So I'll be doing pretty much zero editing of this podcast. It's going live.
Put the whole thing out unedited, like us taking a break, the whole thing. Who cares?
Well, I won't. I'll cut out the break.
No, but leave the break in, but play some music by Tom Zay.
Should I just put should I take the end of the podcast and play it backwards and see if there's any satanic talk?
You should play the one awesome Offspring song still left, Intermission, and just play that during the intermission.
That'd be a good one.
We're not getting sued. Don't worry. We're good.
The Offspring's hits did not hold up quite as well as I would have.
I thought they were going to. Apparently, they're just really annoying.
I do like some of their other songs, though.
Yeah. I like some of their, like, you know, first two album stuff, but, like, everything off, like, Americana on is just unlistenable.
Yes.
All right, America.
Anyway. Thanks, America.
That pretty much wraps it up. It's voting day, and we talked about Americana, so we're good.
Okay, so in conclusion, Syracuse football sucks.
Yes.
Duke is a powerhouse.
There you go.
Gus Malzahn is the most valuable coach in America. Auburn is probably the best team in America, but has a tough schedule and will need to fight to get in the playoff. Florida State has a cakewalk. Michigan State's defense should stop Ohio State. LSU is a hard place to play. UConn is good now. The American democratic system is a total sham. Mm-hmm. And Notre Dame for the upset. Am I missing anything?
Nope. You're good.
All right. See you next week, everybody.
Adios. Take the point. 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 Take the point.
Take the point.